Welcome to everybody to EASY's webinar. We're talking today about recording for the blind and dyslexic. I remember getting books from RFB&D back in the 1950s. I think I was one of their earliest subscribers. And Steve Noble's been with RFB&D for quite some time, and he's going to give us an update on what RFB&D is doing. So I'll turn the mic over to Steve, and he can handle pushing his own slide. So it's up to you, Steve. Take it away.
Okay, Norm. I'm going to, first of all, try to see if I can push a slide. Let me know if I go through. Okay, Norm. Yeah, I've got indication here that slide came through. I just want to make sure. Okay. So I'll go ahead and I think we'll have plenty of time for questions near the end of the session. So I think what the way I'll handle the presentation today is that I'll kind of go through the slides that I have, and if you come across things that are unclear to you or things about which you would like further elaboration, if you could enclose those in the text box window, and then I'll try to deal with them as I flow through. Then I'll also allow time at the end of the session, should be plenty of time, to ask verbal questions as well. So hopefully we'll have a nice little back and forth at the end of the session. I think that arrangement will flow well. So as Norm mentioned, I've been involved with RFB&D in one capacity or another for a while now. Actually, it's been 21 years, I guess. I've been doing something for this organization, and as far as I know, I'll be doing this as long as there's any life left in me. It's a great organization. I've been very fortunate to have been a part of them in one capacity or another. At the current moment in time, my official capacity with RFB&D is I serve on their board of directors, the Kentucky unit. I actually live in Louisville, Kentucky, and I serve on the Kentucky unit's board. In the position of board secretary, which is, of course, the envious position that everyone wants. Okay, let me get on to our next slide here. Okay, you know, I do various things, and one of the things I do is teach at the university level, and I teach music history. So whenever I give a presentation, I always like to begin with sort of a historical background. You know, where did things come from, and why are we where we are now? What's sort of the background? So I get just a brief background. RFB&D, many of you already know about the organization, but this will be new to some of you. We're a national nonprofit volunteer organization. We were formed in 1948. Actually, it was right after World War II, with a large influx of veterans who had lost their eyesight in World War II, who were pursuing post-secondary education for benefit of the GI Bill that had been introduced. And so that's how RFB&D began. And it began primarily as an organization centered on the needs of individuals who are blind or visually impaired and who are seeking a post-secondary education. Now, over the years, we've sort of blended the organization and it sort of increased it in various directions. So since 1995, we've been known as Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic. Those of you old timers, when I started with the organization, it was known simply as RFB, Recording for the Blind. But individuals with learning disabilities have been increasingly involved in the membership. So since 1995, we actually changed the name to Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic. Those of you interested in statistics, fiscal year 2007, we've had over 185,000 members that were served in last fiscal year. Statistics, about 75% of members nowadays have some type of a learning disability, about 20% have visual impairments, and the remaining 5% are primarily a variety of physical impairments or have individuals who have multiple disabilities. Next slide. Okay. So also I was talking about the sort of shift in the service population of RFB&D. Originally, of course, when we were first founded, we served only post-secondary students. Well, nowadays, because of the great need at the K-12 setting, about 75% of the members are actually served in K-12 settings. About 25% of our members are actually either students in a post-secondary setting or are professional users, individuals that have gone on to a career and still need to, of course, get the latest information on their career choices, on the information to continue to stay current in their field, I should say. So, of course, a lot of that has had to do with just the influx of new members at the K-12 level. We continue to have a growing membership at the post-secondary level as well, but the K-12 level is growing much faster, hence the percentages I mentioned. Fiscal year 2007, we had over 500,000 books circulated. That's quite a number of books there. And as far as the titles in the library, which are all digital titles now, 45,000 book titles are in the library. These are primarily textbooks and other core educational materials. A certain significant of additional reading materials, et cetera, especially at the K-12 level, are included, novels, et cetera, that are commonly used in educational settings, also in the collection. Over 6,000 new books are added each year, and we have over 7,000 active volunteers nationwide. At the Kentucky unit, for instance, we have over 200 volunteers who are active with the organization. So how can you use RFB&D? Well, RFB&D is a member organization, which means that you sign up to use the service. There is a fee associated with the service, depending on whether it's the service is provided through the institution, through the school or post-secondary institution, or whether it is provided on an individual basis. But once you're in, you have basically the way I look at it, there's four different ways of accessing the titles. The sort of traditional way for the digital titles is to use the CD-ROMs with hardware-based DAISY players. So these materials are recorded in the DAISY format, which probably most people on the call are should be familiar with, but it allows significant benefits as far as navigation is concerned, navigating at the page level, chapter level, section, subsection, etc., all the things that are capable with the DAISY format. So for people that actually like to use a hardware player, either a portable player or a desktop player, that's certainly a simple option there. So you order the CD from RFB&D, it comes in the mail, you plop it in your machine, you're ready to go. Some people, secondly, would like to use the same CD-ROMs with players on their computer. So this is a choice, especially if you're very used to being at your computer all day. Using a software-based DAISY player is one way of accessing the content. And of course, these software players generally are cheaper in expense than the hardware-based players, so that's a somewhat less expense option for members. But it's the same CD-ROMs, it's the same content. You can use that same content either in a standalone player or on your computer. It's a specialized software, though. You have to acquire that. These are DAISY players that can actually play DAISY content. Third, a very new service, one that many people may have heard about lately, is what RFB&D calls audio access. So this is a download service where you can use your computer or portable media player to play back these files. It's a little bit different. I'll explain more about this later, but it's not standard DAISY content. These are our standard Windows media files that are handled in a little bit different way. The fourth way of using RFP in these services is to use full text titles that are available for K through 12 students through the NIMAS process, the National Instructional Materials Accessibility Standard, part of IDEA 2004, as many of you will know from a K through 12 background, set up a procedure whereby textbooks that are part of a state adoption are provided in electronic format to a repository, a national repository called the NIMAC, the National Instructional Materials Accessibility Center. That's a center actually operated by the American Printing House for the Blind. But this is a center that acts as a national repository for these files from publishers. Then places like RFB&D can pull down these files and create student-ready materials out of them. So I'll talk more about that in a minute. Okay, so next slide. So let's talk a little bit, probably don't have to talk too much about using hardware players. Many of you would be familiar with this. So there are portable and desktop models. There are also other specialized devices without a CD-ROM that can use the same content with a user authorization key. Now, I have a link on this slide to the RFB&D website, and I'll just show you very quickly that there is a link once you're on the website that says browse our line of Audio Plus playback devices. So when you get to that, you'll notice a number of devices shown, the Victor Reader Wave, the Plextalk PTN1, Victor Reader Classic, and then the Plextalk PTR2, which is a player recorder, are some of the devices that RFB&D actually distributes. There are other hardware devices that can be used in addition to those that are supported. And I can say, for instance, there is what's known as a user authorization key. For instance, if you are owner of a book port or book courier, what APH distributed, I believe that's actually being sort of put out of, I don't think they're distributing that anymore, but if you have one of those players, we still have a UA key, UAK available to use that with our content. The Freedom Scientific Reader Packmate, we can get a UAK to use that. The HumanAware Stream, also the HumanAware Classmate and the BrailleNote, HumanAware Mastro, and the GH Player are all, most of those are hardware devices. The GH Player is a software player there. But those are examples of other ways you can use this same content. Okay, let me go back to our screen here. So that was the deal with the hardware players. So let me go on and talk about the software. Again, there are types of software available. Software Daisy players. Again, those are listed on the website, and you can go to those links and find a list of those software players. So I'm just going to kind of skip that. Okay. Next slide. Okay, so the new service that a lot of people have been interested in lately is the Audio Access Download Service. So this is a brand new service. There's about 23,000 titles already converted to this format that are available for pretty much instantaneous download. There's also a large collection of titles that are available for conversion into the downloadable format. That if you find one that's already been done, it's downloadable pretty much instantaneously. I just tried it out this morning with the textbook that I use in my music history class, and it worked just fine. Good recording. The download process was fairly painless, so that's an option for you. The idea behind the audio access service, just to give you some background on this, is that we've had a lot of interest from RFB&D members and from schools to actually be able to use the same content in what is basically a mainstream type of media device instead of a specialized device. So there are various reasons for that. So we looked at ways to actually supply that need, and actually it turned out to be relatively simple to for us to load the available software and get that running as a download service. You have to remember that there are a number of similar audio download services that are out on the web, so the software to facilitate that for companies is pretty much out there and available. Obviously, we do have to make some changes for our own need to ensure that everything's accessible, et cetera. But that was able. We were able to actually get that up and out there. So these are files that are usable in mainstream media players. These are not files that are intended so much for specialized players. Indeed, among the specialized DAISY players that are out there, none of them really have support for this particular type of format, although Humanware indicated that they are working on that and hope to have it at some point in the future as far as the stream. I'm not sure of support in other specialized players. But for mainstream media players, these could include, these could be anything from cell phones with media players to portable sort of MP3 type players. I'll have to say this file format is not MP3, but people have started using that file format sort of generic to talk about sort of digital audio files. But the actual specification is for Windows Media, WMA, and it's a type that is protected. So it's WMA DRM is the way you'll typically be referenced, or sometimes as protected WMA. This ensures that the files are encrypted and that they cannot be used by individuals that do not have RFB&D memberships. The problem is, because of copyright concerns, as I think probably most of you know, it is important that content be used only by individuals that actually can qualify under the Section 121 of the Copyright Act for specialized format. So that's what we're going with there. And the WMA protected format was something that, of course, allowed us to set it up only for RFB&D members to access. So that seemed to work out pretty well. So any media player that will support the WMA DRM, or protected MA, WMA format, those terms mean the same thing. It also has to be able to play files at a relatively slow bit rate, the 32 kilobytes per second, KBPPS bit rate will work. There are some devices that will not play this slower bit rate. The reason for the slower bit rate is to make the files manageable for downloading, so it does not require 12 hours download for a textbook. Instead, you can get them downloaded in 20 or 30 minutes and be ready to play the textbook that way. On our website, we do list, and I'll show you that link. Hopefully, that comes through. There's a listing of compatibility requirements, and then known compatible players at the bottom of the list. For instance, Creative, Zen, Zen 5, Zen 5 Plus, Samsung, YP, K3, et cetera, so I won't go through that whole list, but those are examples of some of the known compatible players that will work with this new format, this new option that's out there. So that's a rather exciting development. Another development is the ability to use files that are provided through the provisions of the IDEA 2004, the NIMAS files that publishers are providing to the NIMAC repository. So the NIMAC repository currently has over 2,000 K-12 textbooks and then over 10,000 total titles. So there's a lot of titles of ancillary materials, workbooks, supplementary reading materials, etc., that are associated with those titles. So these are all textbooks at the K-12 level that have been included by states in textbook adoption and therefore are available in the NIMAC repository. I will say that these titles are not yet listed in the RFP&D catalog. They will eventually be out there. But if you are a school or an individual that actually would meet the qualifications for having access to these files, in other words, you have to be an individual with a print disability, for K-12, you have to be a student in a K-12 environment and being served under IDEA, so you have to have an IEP, in other words, that specifies that you're receiving these services. So if you fit that criteria or if students fit that criteria, then they can have access to these materials. However, to get that through RFP&D, at this point, schools would have to contact the NIMAS state coordinator, and I've included the link in the presentation as far as the state contacts for these things. Let's see. My link isn't doing anything. Anyway. Okay. So that is something that you can do in that case find the NIMAS state coordinator and be sure that those files are assigned to RFP&D as an accessible media producer. Okay. I have a little problem here where my screen isn't working. I'm going to have to... Sorry, okay. There was just a huge delay in getting that screen to come up. Sorry about that. So there's this huge screen of all the state contacts, and so they're there available. It's on the NIMAS website at CAST. So I'm going to go back to the presentation now. Okay. Looking good. Okay. So that is... Now, these are full text, meaning they have both the electronic text, in other words, the typed in words, if you want to think of the actual e-text underneath available, as well as the audio that comes through. So these are full text, full audio titles that are, of course, DAISY versions that you would need to use either DAISY hardware player or DAISY software player to be able to access. Okay, so that is the core of the material that I had to present here, and we got plenty of time for questions, so I'm going to leave it to, I guess, Norm to either coordinate the questions or to see what comes through on the screen.
Well, thank you, Steve. I've learned a lot by way of update, and I think everybody's going to find this very helpful and useful. So if you think you have a working mic, you can hold down your control key while you talk and then let go when you're finished. Otherwise, you can type in the text window and Steve will see what you put in and he can answer it. So you're on your own, Steve.
Steve, I was just wondering, are there any plans to make the Audio Plus books full text, full audio, or will they remain audio? I've heard rumors for a couple of years that they were looking at going text and audio on those.
Yeah, that's a good question, and it reminds me of two things I probably should have mentioned. But so full text and full audio, that means as far as DAISY is concerned, that if you have, for instance, a a visual display on a computer, you're using a DAISY reader and you're using it on a computer, you'd actually be able to see the words on the screen that would then be synced to the audio, so that obviously this is good for sighted users who would like to have the actual words on the screen highlighted as they are read. It's also useful for individuals that are blind and are using refreshable Braille displays so that they can have access to the text through Braille as well, or for individuals that are searching the text for a particular term. So those are some of the common uses of having the full text in addition to the audio available. So the first titles that will be available in that format will be the titles that are available at the K-12 level through the NIMAC. So these are titles that initially come from the publisher with only the text available, and then RFB&D applies the audio to that to begin with. That's primarily synthetic speech that is created with a computer and then turned into recorded audio and then synced at that level. However, it also allows human recording as well to be created and to sync the human recording to the text that appears on the screen. So sort of two answers. Number one, if you're talking about NIMAC materials, it's available now. If you're talking about generally available full text, full audio titles, that is in the future. I'm not sure at what point in the future, but it is a direction we certainly are heading. Okay. I have some questions available on the text window, so I'm gonna look through these and find some answers here. So there's a question. Let me get back up to it here. Let's see. There was a question about do any of the titles include full text except an iMac book? So I think I just answered that. Is the NIMAC books with narration or synthesized speech? As I mentioned, the sort of first generation of these NIMAC books will include synthesized speech after that, and particularly for titles that will benefit much more from human recording, that will be done. For instance, science titles that have a lot of material that needs visual, verbal explanation would be naturally good proponents for creating with human audio. Let's see, I have a question here. I'm in higher ed and have ventured into audio access over the last couple of weeks. Students are very happy to have a more portable format that works on mainstream devices. Do you know of any cell phones or smartphones at work? It's been difficult to find list of WMA DRM compatible phones. Let me stop at that point. And there are some lists. Let me I'm going to see, I think if I put a link up in the window, I actually get that to open up for people. So I'm going to show some things about that. I'm waiting to see something here. Okay. I think that's... what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to open some windows on my PC, and I see it. I think it's let go of the control. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to find some things here that will be useful for the individuals. Let's see. One thing. Okay. I'm going to see if I can put something in the window above. Okay. I think that, for instance, there's some there's an AFB Access World article And I can make these links available in the future on the web that that do a listing of some of the more accessible devices, especially for individuals with visual impairments, that do a list of them, what's available, and what's how accessible things are, and how apparently they're not too accessible. Now, on this particular review, they don't actually do a review of phones, I don't think, but of the things. There are phones that will support the WMA protected format. If you're trying to use it for an individual who has a visual impairment, I'm not sure as far as accessible cell phones that work very well. I read something on the National Braille Press review, I think, that did mention where they had tried using a particular phone, but I'm not sure about that. Let me go on to another question here. Let's see. So there was a question, are there any plans for true Mac support for audio access? About 50% of our students using document conversions use Macs, and of course have iPods. So the issue on the Mac side is that the WMA format, of course, is a Windows format, and Mac and Windows don't always like to get along with each other. So it would be what you would have to do is use some kind of an emulation device if you're using a Mac computer that would emulate a Windows environment. And I understand that does work, but true Mac support, in other words, native Mac support, again, that's primarily the issue of the Mac format deciding not to support, I guess, Windows licensing agreements. That may change in the future. I don't know. The iPod, I know that it does not support the WMA format. Now, there's a question from someone, do you have books in Spanish? Well, we do have books that are part of education in the Spanish language. So the foreign language course in Spanish would be included. There may be some types of supporting reading materials that also are in Spanish. In other words, if you have a foreign language class and it requires that you read some basic text, sort of basic novels, say, in Spanish, those may also be available. I haven't actually checked to see about that. Let me look at another question. This is from, let's see, I'm trying to get to it here. Okay, from Todd, I'm also in higher education. There are several programs around that can take text and convert this to MP3 or WAV files. I have not used RFID much for my students, but have several who want things in an MP3 format to take them to make them portable. The University of Dayton student learning support, if you want more information. So on the question about converting text to MP3. So the text, of course, is a DAISY text format. To the extent that any DAISY reader allows an MP3 output, that might be possible. I haven't thought of the implications or the capabilities of doing that. But again, generally, what you're primarily talking about is using either scanned text or maybe an MP or maybe a PDF that's been supplied from a publisher, and converting those to MP3 format. So that's a very common thing that's being done, especially at the higher ed level, in order to sort of provide that kind of support. That's why the WMA download version was created. Of course, not all MP3 players can support WMA, as we've just discussed, so that's one thing to keep in mind. Okay, so Any other questions? I think I've done all of them. I have, let's see. Okay. All right. So there's some back and forth that some people didn't have audio, some people did. I think there's sometimes, depending on your site, there may be issues with backups on the internet for your particular location, which may cause the audio to momentarily come out. That may be perhaps what's going on. I'll get off the mic for anyone that would like to ask a question by mic. One thing I'll add while waiting for people to ask questions is as far as downloadable DAISY files. So I didn't actually mention that, but there are plans in the work in addition to the downloadable WMA files to allow downloadable DAISY files. So you get the full DAISY navigation, etc. Those plans are already in the works, so we're doing the necessary infrastructure updates to be able to do that. So that's actually a little bit more difficult of a proposition. There's no off-the-shelf available software that makes that easy to do, so it kind of has to be hand-created. So it's taking a little bit longer to get that. But that is planned for the near future to have downloadable DAISY files, so the Audio Plus files in DAISY, so that you can then take those files and use it on your stream or bookport or whatever portable DAISY player that you're using. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. Any other questions? Okay. So I see a question. Can you please review the reason the stream might not work? You said HumanWare. Okay. So I talked to HumanWare about the stream. So the issue is being able to support the WMA DRM format. It's a requirement apparently in the ability for the device to have a real-time clock. That's what I was told. So there needs to be a change to include a real-time clock on the stream or any other device. This is because of apparently for Windows licensing reasons that they need to be able to know when a license expires, etc. So that's the reason for that. Okay, so any other questions out there?
Well, let me thank you again, Steve. As I said, I started using RFB books when I was an undergraduate. Must have been about 1953 or 4, somewhere back there. And we've been excited with the explosion of books in the last 5 or 10 years through RFB, Bookshare, Library of Congress, and a lot of other resources. So the world is changing. There's still a lot of changes to happen before we get equality, but it's come a long way. And I want to thank you and Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic for all you do for us. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, Norm. There was a final question in the text window that asked, are the RFB and D downloadable books all WMA? So yes, currently all the downloadable books are WMA. In the future, there will be downloadable DAISY books. So that's a totally different creature, obviously, from WMA. Currently, the only ones in the download service has only been released in the last few weeks, and so WMA is where it's at the moment. But stay tuned. Anything else before we